All right, everyone. Well, hello, and welcome to the TF Tuesday podcast live. My name is Zil, coming to you live from Fernal Equinox, our first time doing the panel here. So thank you so much, everyone, for coming. Much appreciated. We've had every single season of weather, so you can check that off your bingo card. But yeah, we've had every single season of weather in the past 4 days, and that has been quite something. I'm joined by my illustrious co-host for the first time at a live panel, Kay Libra. How you doing, Kay Libra?
Doing all right. I'm happy that I finally get to actually do this. I've been looking forward to it because I've never done something like this before. I haven't been on stage in years.
Yeah.
I remember the last time I was on stage, although I keep thinking of this Batman play that I was in, and you did this weird little dance to A Kiss from a Rose. It sounds like a fever dream shit, but I swear I did it.
Who are you playing?
Batman.
We were all Batman. Oh, you were all Batman in on that blessed day.
In little purple capes on stage.
Amazing.
Swaying left and right with your arms and your capes and everything.
Sounds very homoerotic, I'm in.
Probably. Especially if you watch Batman Forever and you get the nipple suit.
Oh yeah, that's true, the nipple suit.
Yeah.
Can't forget that. Again, as just a reminder for our wonderful audience, this is a recorded podcast, so we will have an opportunity towards the end of the panel for audience questions, so we will allow folks to come up and ask questions, so just a heads up if you didn't want to be recorded in any way.
Yeah, but there is an opportunity to put us in the hot seat if you think you can do it.
Yeah, and speaking of recording, if you'd like to record support for us, you can always join us on patreon.com/TFTuesdayPod. We always love any support that anyone wants to give to us, and it helps us keep this thing going.
Yeah, and it's the best way to record it. We'll know that your name was there, and that way we can always say, yeah, you were there before we hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube or a certain listening threshold on Spotify or anything like that. It would be good to be able to say, you can brag about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, you used to be able to look at them from across the table, but now the auditorium's so big, and we never have the chance to talk to them, and there's security around them.
Yeah, I wish. But yeah, I'm really excited for this live panel because we've got two interesting topics to kind of chat about. And I think we've talked about like this in different shades before, but never like specifically. I want to chat a little bit about, you know, first times, and specifically first times talking about TF with other people and how those conversations have kind of gone. So maybe, I don't know if you wanted to share your experience about your first time.
Okay, my first time coming out with that stuff was with my partner, who I'm lucky to still be with today. But it was very educational because the first thing that I got to respond with was like, oh yeah, you know, this is the kind of thing, this is what it is. It's like, does that mean that you want to fuck animals? And I'm like, no. And that was a months long process of just kind of trying to get the picture of like, what is this that I'm like really attracted to, you know? You know, it was like, oh, you know, are you gonna be attracted to me? Like what is it? I can't possibly satisfy that. But, you know, it comes with a lot of patience. I think that's the most educational thing because I think it's the one thing that people would be most terrified of doing. Never mind with strangers, because I have spoken to some people who they're in a relationship and they don't want to let anybody know. It's like a second life to them. But I always find that it's ultimately really, it's something that's just waiting to become like a festering thing. And eventually you get find out, you can't, like holding that secret in from somebody that you're supposed to like love and care about, and they're supposed to return that to you. It just doesn't seem like it works. And since I don't really like doing that with like people that I'm close with, I like to let them know. And it's always been a really interesting thing telling people for the first time, yeah, this is what I'm into. So I got a string of stories from like a significant other to a friend that I've known for years to just like pure strangers or artists that suddenly started to notice like, what's this stuff you're posting? I don't get it.
Yeah. I think the one about the friend is a really funny one to me just because there was clearly like two parallel paths going on, like, you know, getting into the contents and such, and then coming to the realization that, oh, we're both into this, and like we had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, each and the other was going on the same websites and the same like
yep.
things and shit like that,
recognizing artist names that no normal person would possibly be aware of. And I thought it was hilarious because what he's talking about is somebody that I had been friends with for a long time. I met on like PlayStation 3 just playing Street Fighter 4. And so he, you know, he ended up hanging out at my place. We got real close. He would end up spending time at my place for like, you know, a week or maybe like a week and a half at a time. And when I started doing commissions, you know, it's really close quarters. And I'm like, man, I don't want to do this thing where I tell him, don't come over here. Don't look at this monitor that's like right behind the TV. Like, don't do any of that, please. just avoid that. So I just told him flat out, listen, this is a thing. This is what I'm drawing. This is what I'm into. Are you cool with it? He's like, yeah. Actually, I've been going on like transfer for like a long time. I'm like, what the fuck? How do you know that? Like, how do you know that? How do you know these are? It's like, oh yeah, this one and this one. It's like, ooh, you talk to this one, and I'm like, yeah. So, in what way do you like it? And he's like, I'm just interested, and I just think it's cool. I'm like, really? Yeah, do you just think it's cool? Oh, all right, I'll take that. Of course, about 10 years later, because I'm still friends with him, he's like, yeah, I'm like really attracted to it. I'm like, I knew it. I knew it, and it's okay. But it's just like, it never came up once up until that point where yeah. I had to do, you know, where I was just not wanting to do the stupid, like, don't cross this line sitcom bullshit. It has turned out okay. I've even, like, one of my partner's mom, I was just like, you know what? Let me see. I'm like, hey, I have like started drawing for money. Here's some of the shit that I've drawn. And her response to that was, that is so cool that you can do that. Look at this. Look at how you drew this part, doing this part. Like, I can't even fathom that. It is so cool that you can do that. You should feel proud of that. And I'm like, okay, this works.
Yeah. You know? It's so interesting that, like, you know, I think in a lot of people's minds, when we think about sharing transformation with other people, we kind of immediately jump to like the worst case scenario of how people are going to react, when in actuality, for most people, like, it's just another Tuesday. It's like, yeah, okay, sure. You know, pass the butter, whatever. The thing that I think about, you know, going off of that, I've kind of told my sister about my stuff, but like not really. We have like this kind of shadow dance we play where like she's supportive. She's just not interested in it and, like, wants to be supportive without fully knowing. So,
is she
like,
avoidance of it? Is she, like, kind of scared?
A little bit, yeah. Because she, like, I'll give you an example. Like, we've gone on, like, vacations together, and I have literally, like, worked on Manips with, like, a fucking trackpad on my laptop in the past. And it was always like, yeah, you probably don't want to see this. I don't care if you do look at it, but, like, you know, it's up to you. And she's like, I'm good. I'm the arch human. I'm good.
The arch human.
Well, cause I say that because in every single possible like game where you like can like choose your race or whatever, she will always pick the human. And I make fun of her for that. I'm like, you could be anything you want. And she's like, but I relate most to the human. And I'm like, okay, we're on different wavelengths. That's fine.
I don't know. She watches Star Trek. What about the allegory that like all the different, different species are like supposed to be different extremes of humanity?
Yeah, I should ask her that question. I've never actually.
She likes Star Trek, right?
She does. No, she does.
All right, so just put it to her that
way. And she likes Magical Girl anime, so I'm like, that's TF, my friend.
Yes,
you know?
Actually.
But, no, it literally is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, she knows I manip dicks in Photoshop, so she's like, yeah, that's chill.
Maybe if it was somebody else's dick.
Yeah,
or somebody
maybe.
Else shirtless.
Yeah,
just doesn't
maybe.
Want to see her brother that way.
Yeah, I think that's
which
probably
is fine,
what it is.
Right? I don't know how many of you would want to see your siblings.
Yeah, I absolutely would not, and I respect her. I respect her for that. But
that's good. That's
yeah,
good.
No, she's always been positive about it. And even like you know, like my very serious like past long term relationship, I didn't talk to my partner about it until about 3 or 4 years in, just because again, it was like. I didn't know how to approach it, and I was, like, really nervous about it because I felt, like, you know, very self-conscious. But, like, you know, they were, you know, very queer-friendly and had seen lots of shit. So when I did, like, open up, I actually, like, I made a folder on my phone of, like, these are, like, the tamest manips I've done. You know, no saucy stuff, just, like, you know, very, like, generic, like, this one's a wolf, this one's whatever. And I showed them, and I actually typed out what I wanted to say to them because I wasn't sure how to articulate it like audibly. And they just read it and they looked this up and they're like, yeah, that's cool. Actually, I think it's really cool that you do that stuff. So again, I think, and this ties back to something you've talked about, I think in other episodes, in that, you know, if the other person cares about you as a person, they're probably going to take it in stride.
Yes.
You know?
That's absolutely the thing that you should expect from people. Because, again, my first reaction was, you know, how am I supposed to fulfill this fantasy of yours? It's impossible. I can't be this for you. Are you going to be doing, like, these, like, fucked up things? Or is that what you want? But really, because it's complicated and because it's complicated because there's no one person who has the exact same set of likes in the exact same ways.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody in here is into it. But you're always going to find these little things where you're just like, nah, not for me. Or, ugh, no, that's the way it is. So yeah. The thing you do is, like, you find a wavelength. And I think also one of the things that helps is when you don't put it to people in, like, these very esoteric, as in, like, really in-group community type terms,
yeah.
You know? Find your ways to, like, use more words to describe something if the one word you know, like, oh, I like the TFE stuff, which doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Yeah. And they're like Transformers? Team Fortress? What is this?
Yeah. Transform 2?
Yeah.
That was my favorite game.
I love that game.
Ever.
Truly.
Yeah. It's kind of difficult, but again, if you have like a standing relationship with somebody and if you feel like this is something that's going to just be kind of like coming up every now and again, and you don't want to have to like hide your phone or your computer or something. Like, it's really good to just have that out there. I keep saying this, but I believe strongly that people think that others can like tune into their thoughts and immediately assume exactly what they're thinking, which is why people may make the mistake of like, yes, this is what I get off to all the time.
Yeah.
And strongly. And that doesn't make people feel comfortable. It doesn't even make people feel comfortable, like, in this space. Because I'm sure, like, you've had your interactions online where somebody will just horny post at you, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know? You would. So if you're not going to do it to somebody else, then you can have a conversation about that without going right into, like, how you're attracted to it, if you're attracted to it. Or if it's the other spectrum of, you know, what's the kind of, like, mindset that this puts you into? You know, what sort of mindset are you pursuing with that? You can relate to that with people. Everybody wants to, like, get to some sort of level or place with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very relatable. But you just got to be willing to understand that people are going to need time to actually get it. Of course, if they're going to be shit about it, you can completely disengage or fight. Depends on how you feel. Yeah.
We do love parking lots, so, you know.
There are so many parking lots around here.
Oh, in Toronto? Yeah.
Just a few walks from here. Hey, wait a minute. There's one, like, upstairs, too. You don't have to leave the hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask, because at least when I was starting to be more open about it with, like, people in real life that I knew weren't necessarily into TF, in a weird way, I kind of, like, eased them into the idea that I might be into it in the sense of, like, I started, like, openly wearing, like, Lombax tails and my hat and all this shit. So people at least started to be like, okay, so he's probably a furry, and then kind of went from there. I know you're not a furry, but my question would be, like, did you try to, like, ease anyone into, like, the idea you're into TF in the sense of, like, you know, signaling certain things in advance, I guess?
No. Absolutely not. I fucking am doing whatever I'm doing, and if you're able to see it, and I'm doing it in a place where I know somebody can look in my over my shoulder, it is me saying, like, I know you can see it, I know you might say something, and I'm ready for that. And if you're going to be weird about it, I'll handle it however I need to handle it. I did this shit at work, okay? I drew it in my lap, In a configuration where all the desks were facing the wall and a manager or any other employee can walk by and see you. I planned my commissions in my book. I even brought my laptop and worked on my tablet. I got to be able to do that shit. And the most I got was, oh, cool, you can draw. Yep.
I think I would be mortified if I tried to do that at my
work. But that's the thing. If you're like hunched over, like, ah, what? People are gonna be like, oh, what's that? What? This isn't fucking high school. Just be like, dude, you're fucking weird. I'm like, dude, you fucking work here too. I watch you.
Yeah.
Do you think I don't pick up on the weird dumb shit that you do?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like using an inhaler on your tongue like it's a fucking breath freshener. It's supposed to help you breathe, not freshen your goddamn breath.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it fucking is.
It is, yeah. We and only talk about true stories.
And
here.
I gave her shit about that. She did not like it.
But yeah, it's like, you know, I'm showing off my ass. I've seen yours plenty of times. So, you know, if you want to come at me, then, you know.
Yeah, it's not fun to like fight or get into like an argument with people. That's usually not what's going to happen.
Yeah,
because they'll be like too weirded out. You know, the people who are going to get into your face about stuff, usually you could peg them from a mile away. You know, the ones who come around and always tell you that you need to do something or wear something a certain way, you know?
Yeah.
They make it known that they're ready to fight for whatever they believe in.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Because they're fucking cowards, ironically. They're fucking cowards. They won't ever engage you on anything sincerely. You can be brave with these people and you can be a little bit bold. You know, you just don't have to be, like, forthcoming, like, spill your guts, like, ah, you can already tell exactly what I do in my private time and what I think about. No, they don't. They don't. They really don't.
Yeah. Would you say that, did you ever have to, like, reintroduce anyone to, like, I guess, sorry, let me reformulate this statement. As you've kind of gone through TF and your tastes have potentially expanded or evolved, did you have to, like, reintroduce anyone to the idea that you were into, like, a different kind of TF? And they, like, had a reaction to that?
Kind of. Like, every single time, like, something new came up, it was just sort of... It's because I had to understand it, too, where mm-hmm. I started, for instance, like, really thinking, like, man, you know, I like the feral stuff, but I don't, you know, I'm not interested in the results, you know? So, like, what is this? What is this thing? It seems kind of contradictory. But, you know, when I came to terms with it and I sort of just started doing it, it was just more kind of like, you know what? It would be cool to be, like, turning into one of those things or whatever. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. there isn't really any thought about that. And so, I mean, it's kind of natural. Unless it's something, I guess, that people would be, like, weirder about, like, merging.
Uh-huh.
What?
Don't give me that look. Don't give me that look. Don't. No. No.
What?
I have nothing to say. Continue.
Yeah, you have lots to think about.
Shut up. Go. Keep going.
Merging is a really weird thing to look at, and so people would be like, oh, man, that absolutely looks terrifying. But pretty much anything I like or anything I try to draw gets easily interpreted as body horror, which I don't know what else to call it, but that's what everybody identifies it as. So I'm, like, doing some merch stuff. I'm like, yeah, some of this is really nice. It looks really romantic. They're like, oh, my God, you know, these people are, like, you know... Man, I'm thinking of, like, Doppelganger. You ever see the movie Doppelganger? It had, like... Yeah,
we've talked about it before on the podcast.
Yeah, but, like, has anybody else heard of it? I think it, like, had Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, it was Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody ever seen it?
No? Okay.
That shit was weird. That felt like a fever dream. It was just, like, there was this whole huge scene where... her body twists into like a cocoon and then like separates itself into like two like skinless fucking monsters, and then they eventually reform. But the thing is that I don't understand like the plot of the movie, because I just remember that scene. But when it was happening, like the house was like falling down, it was like some huge magical force. And all I'm saying is that, you know, when you get put back together like that, there's some nice intimacy to be gained. A little bit of horniness. It can be fine. And then explaining that to somebody, I think, you know, imagine not having to be apart at all for a little while, you know, and you can feel each other's thoughts and stuff like that. Ah, Cassette Beast does that.
Cassette Beast does do that.
They explain the fusion thing. Yeah, there you go. You know, they explain the fusion thing, and they mention how, like, oh, man, you know, I knew you as a person for just that little while, and it was really intense, and it was like a little overwhelming, but like I feel like a connection with you that like won't go away. And it's just like, that's how you can explain merging to somebody. And that's, you know, stuff like that. Rolling back to like the point of the topic would be that you have to do it sometimes, but other times it's like really natural. Oh, do you like cat girls or something like that? Well, you know, the fact that girl turning into a panther all the way, yeah, sure, whatever. But, yeah, you know, getting stuck with each other and then turning into a completely different thing, like, maybe you'll be like, well, what's that?
Yeah. I always think that when I've, like, found a new kind of, like, transformation that I'm, like, into and, like, I'm kind of, like, working through it, sometimes it actually helps to, like, talk to other people about it, because their questions about it can then give you insight as to what is making you tick as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I think, like, having conversations like that is... such an important thing. I mean, obviously we think it's an important thing. We talk every fucking week about this stuff. But like, I do think like actually articulating it to other people can help you sort through like some of the things that make you yourself tick. And I find that like having those opportunities to actually talk through like a new thing that maybe you're getting into, it may be your first time kind of articulating it out loud, but you can kind of reshape and refine what it is like once you've like done that talking and done a little bit of internal reflection too.
It's happened with the guests too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They're like,
yeah.
Actually, the fun thing is that some of the guests that we've had haven't really had the meaningful opportunity to talk about this stuff out loud at all, which is kind of like, which is interesting. It's actually calls kind of an honor too when you're like, yeah, I don't really talk about this stuff out loud, but I'm going to get recorded and do it anyway. I mean, you guys can do it interpersonally. I still think it's a really good thing to do, you know. I think like the easy mode actually is to come out to people that you have known or expect to know for a long time, you know, especially if you got to live with them.
Please.
So you don't have to do the don't look. That shit will always look worse.
Yeah. Oh, no, that stuff eats you up. Like, it's so difficult. I know that, like, you know, when I still live with, like, my parents and stuff, for example, they were absolutely not supportive of even just the tales. So it was like, I'm not going to have this conversation. But it eats up at you to, like, almost have to live a double life in a way of, like, oh, yeah, this is me here, and then this is me in this, like, corner of the internet that I hope to God you don't find. Like, it's never healthy from, a mental health perspective.
Mm-hmm. And that obviously like kills a lot of people's just self-esteem too, because they think that this is something to like trash, put away. They fight with themselves about it all the time.
Yeah,
I don't know. Did you ever get put in that kind of position where you had to like, I don't know, you had to like struggle with that a little bit, right? Just did you have any shame starting up with it in the first place?
Like when I was starting to get into like transformation or absolutely. I mean, I when I first realized I was into it, I was like using my family computer back in 2006, and I was like, oh God, I'm in like, you know, a room where other people could potentially see what I'm going to be looking at. So I need to click the fuck off of this transfer website I just found, because I was just looking for were sharks, and I don't know how the fuck I ended up here. But I think almost every person who's into TF to like some degree has to fight a little bit of like shame at first, not necessarily because we even think of like, oh, me being into that is bad, but it's almost like, what are other people's expectations going to be? And how are they going to view me once I tell them I'm into this thing?
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, that was always the case. Like I never felt like the inherent interest in TF was shameful. It was more, how are other people going to interpret me being into that thing? Because, you know, I think back to like even like my childhood, and it's like, yeah, I was always drawn to these shapeshifters, and that was like my number one answer if anyone ever asked me, oh, what superpower would you want and all that shit. Like the signs were very much there, but it was more of a question of, how are people going to treat me differently if I tell them that I'm into this thing?
Yeah. I think the other thing that should be considered is when you tell people something very personal about yourself, it might actually make them feel really good, because you're letting them in on something personal. And when you give them that, suddenly you're like, oh man, you trust me that much? So that's also a possibility, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Would you say that it got easier for you the second time around? Like once you had to tell like other people, or it wasn't different?
I felt like it got easier because the one person that really mattered to me that I wanted them to know about it, after they were okay with it, it was something that became easier. I think I actually had a Discord call, and this sort of came up where somebody was like on, they mentioned like, oh God, okay, so have you seen the Twitter thing where like somebody will post like a monster or something like that, and they're like, would or hear me
out?
Oh
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Vicar Amelia stands, rise up.
So, I love watching The Shadow.
Yeah,
you know,
it's so good. Oh, I know you do.
Anyway, the thing is, they told me how they caught shit for saying like, oh, they would, or like hear me out on like a kaiju. I don't remember what the monster was, but I looked and I'm like, yeah, it looks like something like out of Godzilla that I don't remember the name of. So there's just like, oh, people are like giving them shit. And I'm like, yeah, but there's also like a lot of the comments who are just like, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And other people will be like, bro, that's an animal. Bro, that's an animal. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. And what the point of all this is that I try to be a certain way where nobody can blackmail me, you know? Nobody can blackmail me because it's all right there. Oh, you're going to tell who? The people that I wouldn't want to be around in the fucking first place? Is that what you're going to do? Oh, I'm going to tell your mother. You know, if I told my mother about this, she'd just be like, honey, I understand. Yeah, I love you and you're my son and this and that. And I'm fortunate enough to have a living parent that can do that. But yeah. I'll tell you right now, it's it makes me feel better. There's just like, oh, you're being horny on Maine? I have a working libido and, you know... and there's so much porn on this site, and I'm gonna let you know this is cool. Also, here's how you draw hands.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big one. People are like terrified of drawing hands, just in general.
It's fine. I like to think that if you're an adult in an adult space, you can be adults. Yeah. Which means like, you know, you can broach on adult topics and adult fun depending on who you're with and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's fine. I think it's better for anybody to be as open as possible. And just like, I don't know, work with that. You're going to overstep. You're going to do some stuff that people are going to think are like cringy or whatever, but whatever. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can either lean into that or you can dial it back. It's up to you.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to like the topic of cringe online and stuff, I mean, there's always the fear that like the art or the things that we're engaging in are going to blow up in some way and get like taken out of context. But I really do think that the pendulum has swung away from the whole like, oh, that's cringe, bro, or whatever. Like, I think people are a lot more like comfortable leaning into being genuine about their interests and what they like. And yes, obviously there's always going to be the case of potential bad actors coming in and having things to say, but that shouldn't dissuade us from trying to build ourselves up and express ourselves in the way that we want to be seen.
Here, I will give all of you an example that nobody really thinks about. You ever really think about all the fact that these right-wingers that go on social media will actually say the dumbest shit that you're like, why do people still think this? And they will keep saying it, and they will keep repeating it. And do you think that those people aren't being like, they're doing like the thing that you're afraid of, but they're fine with it. And somehow they have a job too. You can have a job. You can keep a job. It's okay. You know, they get away with it.
I know, because that's a whole other conversation. I did want to take some time to talk about something else though, that I know we've talked about before. And that's like kind of pain versus enjoyment in transformation. Because I think that a lot of people, when they think about like painful TF versus like enjoyable TF, they think that they are almost like opposing in some way. Whereas like, I know for you, like they're very much things that go hand in hand. So I was curious to like understand that a bit better from your perspective.
Oh, well, the easiest analog I can think of all the time is sex. Now, sex is a very strenuous activity. And you will end up feeling like, oh man, my legs fucking hurt, you know? This is kind of dry. My arms are getting tired from holding myself up. There's like that funny video where it's just like, oh, my wife wonders why I fall asleep after sex. And he has her on the bed doing the motions that he would do. And he's like timing her. And he's like, come on. And she's like, oh my God. It's like, no, don't stop. You're not finished yet. You're not finished yet.
I've seen that video. It's really funny.
So I'm thinking like, while you're busy doing something like that, I'm like, yeah, you know, it kind of hurts, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, I know you've also used working out as an example too.
Yeah. Cause it's, there's a really interesting satisfaction that comes out of doing that, out of pushing yourself. It's this kind of thing that it's been studied, like find credible sources to jump off of my shit and correct me. But like, humans need stressors of different kinds in order to actually be healthy. Stuff that we generally would want to avoid, we actually kind of need in certain doses. So I can't think of something like your body being pushed into another form as being something that is completely painless or completely comfortable. You know, it's at least going to be like mentally jarring. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that it's kind of essential for you to like know what's happening. Numbness is something that I don't really enjoy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of why, like, you know, if I think of drugs, somebody will be like, oh, would you ever try this? Would you ever try that? And I would tell them, I want to take something that will make me feel and see things that aren't there. Because I want to be like cognizant of that.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of thing that I think is like really good about having like a little bit of pain in there, because you know what's happening. It's a signal that says like, oh, this is happening here, this is happening there. Or sometimes, which could be more interesting, is you don't know what that is.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you kind of draw that like kind of realism to it, because I know that for a lot of transformation stuff, you know, like for example, when people lean into sort of like magical triggers or things that are not like as fully grounded in reality, so to speak, there can be an argument that like, well, you know, it's magical and it's my fantasy, so there doesn't have to be any pain. And, you know, it can just be like, you know, a very like fluffy kind of change. Do you find that those, because they're kind of like less reality grounded, does that like break your like interest or immersion? Excuse me, immersion.
No, it doesn't. It can really be anything. I look for an idealized version of what I like, as everybody here does.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. I don't really like to look away from that stuff and think, that's not how I would have wanted. Well, no fucking shit. I didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know. What do you think with the pain? And, like, how do you feel like it complements it at all? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me at least, so I have a very low pain tolerance, so I'm not always, like, big on the painful stuff. I like kind of more, like, the impression of pain to other people instead of actually going through pain myself. Like, give me, like, all the bones popping and cracking and all that shit. Like, I'm all here for that. And if it doesn't, like, actually feel painful, that almost makes it even cooler, because it's like, you know, you give the impression to maybe whoever is, you know, watching you go through whatever it is, to like, oh my God, this must be like super gnarly. How are you doing that? And, you know, for the person, you know, or me in this example, I'm just like, nah, this is just great. I'm like having a great time. And sure, it sounds like, you know, fucking potentially gut-wrenching, but I'm just having a good time with it.
Yeah, you see, that's another thing. I actually just like the noises a
yeah.
lot. So even if they're like completely fine with it, I'm okay if I can hear it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And like, it's not to say that I like, obviously, if I was given the choice and they were like, oh, it's going to be like the most painful thing you've ever endured, I would still be like, yes, would. But like, you know, if I had to at least make a decision, I would go less on the pain route. And I think that's also just primarily because, you know, my own experiences with physical pain have not always been great, and they don't really have much of a fun payoff, to be honest. So it's kind of like, well, if I can skip that, like, discomfort and just get to it, like, enjoy it in the way that I would potentially want, then that's almost, like, a better time for me overall, even if it's, like, less, quote-unquote, realistic.
Well, I think also, like, the realism comes from the idea that, the idea of it being realistic that pain is something that is going to be like huge in the changes is simply because, again, transformation is framed as like a horrific thing, a terrible thing, a punishment. So you're going to make it as awful as possible sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's going to be why it shows up that way, until somebody comes along and says, but what if not? What if it's cool?
You know? Yeah, I guess that's true. Do you find that, when it comes to the like painful changes, is there like a limit? Do you think there's like any point where it's like, no, actually this would be too much pain, and now this is interfering with my ability to like enjoy the transformation?
There's different reasons to enjoy something like that. Like we said in a previous episode, if you're going to go through the trouble of showing the process of somebody changes or, mm-hmm. or anything like that, there's a purpose to showing that. So what's the point? You know, if it's like again, if it's supposed to be kind of like a horny sort of story and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If they're like utterly suffering and there's like tears constantly streaming down, they're like, why me? Why God, please help me? Like, you know, you've gone too far. But if horror is the point, if it is to make you feel uncomfortable, if that's what you're driving home, then maybe that's what it needs. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do need to make people feel uncomfortable, but people got to kind of understand the point of what they're trying to say and not mix it in just because somebody else has done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you feel like maybe we sometimes have like these almost internalized expectations upon ourselves about like what pain is in a transformation?
American Werewolf in London.
Was that how you got into TF?
No. I mean, people look at that and they think, yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. And that's how it should be. Like, well, no, if you want it to be that way, sure. What's the fucking point? That was supposed to be funny, and it was supposed to make it like awful, which they did.
Yeah.
and it was funny and it was awful.
They did it so well, they won an Academy Award for it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You know? That was part of the tone. That was the horror and horror comedy.
Right.
So I get it, and that's fine. I mean, like, I read Berserk. Hey. And
take a shot.
Yes.
Take two. Cause in Berserk, there's like there's a lot of monsters that are like they're made out of people. So, yes. You know, you do get to see them change sometimes, and they have like the really gnarly transformations. They don't seem to hate it, but they are horrific,
mm-hmm.
You know? So it doesn't take me out of it. Like, oh, why is this terrible thing not suffering when it's changing? What the fuck am I supposed to say? It's just like,
yeah. Well, yeah, there's also a question of like how much of it is going to end up being torture porn versus actually like something, yes, that visually is going to be interesting and like, you know, resonate with the viewer in some way.
Yeah. Again, like, if that's the point. If the point is to, like, punish and you want to show something like that, then whatever. You're going to do it. Just be ready if that's the point of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to, I guess, like, enjoyment overall, both, like, from, like, a aesthetic perspective and, like, a, you know, a visceral or, like, carnal one, do you think that pain has a different, like, interplay with each one of those?
I don't know, like, what are you getting at?
I guess what I mean is, like, when I think about, like, aesthetically viewing something, like, okay, you know, to use American Werewolf as an example, there are some people who are, like, just aesthetically, I really like that it looks painful and that I am really into that just as, like, something to enjoy seeing. Whereas, like, some people may look at that and be, like, the pain, like, it really gets my britches going, you know? Like, do you think there's a difference in terms of how pain interplays into both of those?
I mean, people who like BDSM and stuff like that, they ride that line all the time. It's just that in this case, it's like the very thing that is you. So it's different from like doing something like slapping somebody with a cat of nine tails, or, mm-hmm. but you know, it's coming from inside of you, which would freak anybody out. It would freak all of you out. Don't lie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
It's just, but the idea of that is something like so unfamiliar and scary, you know? And so, I think that it does play well into it. It's just that since it's on another level, since it's internal and it's you and it's not something that you can just remove or necessarily heal,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can be kind of freaky. But I think there's like just fine, examples that we are all aware of that actually makes it work. And besides, it's just it's the same to me. That's why it's a kink for me.
Yeah.
It's all like yeah, this is the moment when this happens, when that looks good. That's why, like, I think, like, the muzzle is also kind of like the money shot, mm-hmm. which is kind of why I like to leave it last a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun. Or, like, just, like, the push is just like, oh, there's a little bit now, but the rest of it isn't coming until later. Not until later, not until later, because it's all building up, because that is the analog that I put it toward.
Yeah, well, that's also, like, I mean, we relate to people oftentimes by, like, you know, their face more than anything. And so, yes. like, when that's last, that's the final, like, moments of humanity being kind of, like, taken away from a person who's changing.
So you got the people who will, here's to further that. They like to go into the sound effects of any female character and just do the pain, like, you know, and they just do that. And like, oh, what does that sound like? You know, also, like, in freeze frames, you know, people will grit their teeth. They'll, you know, they'll, like, tense all their muscles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't tell sometimes. You can't tell by the sound. You can't tell by the look. So I'm just like, yeah, these two things can go hand to hand. Just also, if you're like really trying to get to your climax, but you can't, and you're just like, ah, and that becomes its own kind of like
frustration pain. And pain. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I guess I ask the question because oftentimes when I think about one versus the other, I tend to find that people like pain more as like a, again, this is me, like, you know, me reading, so I can be off base, but it, to me, it often reads like people like the pain more from an aesthetic perspective than it is from a, like, a pure enjoyment perspective.
Where have you gotten that impression from? Because I haven't really heard that, like, nuance before.
I think it's just come from, like, some of the conversations I've had over the years, I guess, like, where people are like, oh, yeah, you know, like, man, to use American Werewolf in London, it's like, oh yeah, I really love seeing that. That's like really cool, blah, blah, blah. But then if you ask them, okay, but like if you were going to go through the change, like how would you idealize it? That factor will sometimes get removed because they want to have enjoyment separate from that. Okay. And so that's why I think about those two like being almost like different things, because to me at least, sometimes people get more enjoyment of seeing someone else go through pain than they themselves actually going through that pain.
Yeah, that's a whole other set of topics to go into.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like just like the power and stuff like that. If you want it to be easy for you, but it's always easier to watch somebody else go through bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's just the nature of things.
It's like, wait, like just went like half a comedy is like cruelty or pain or something like that. Something like that. I'm messing that up, but but most of the time, if you're laughing at something, you're laughing at the expense of somebody else. Even with like the most benign shit, like teehee, look at that, you stumbled.
Yeah,
like that's mean, but it is funny.
So there was one other thing I wanted to kind of touch about with this topic. So obviously we've been talking a lot about like American Werewolf in London and all that good stuff. When it comes to like inanimate TF, it's a bit of a different kind of viewpoint, at least in my mind, in terms of like, well, you know, the thing you're turning into isn't necessarily going to have the pain receptors required to have that pain. So when I know you've done like, you know, a few vehicle TFs, for example, when you think about like any sort of pain or discomfort in those changes, how do you like conceptualize it?
I mean, on the way there, mm-hmm. anything that's left of you, I would say, oh yeah, you can feel it until you can't. But that would also kind of mean like, what am I going to do with the consciousness of mm-hmm. the subject? So typically, I guess there would be the replacement of some sensations. Maybe if a car doesn't have a sensation of pain, as far as we can tell, maybe they'll like just feel other things, and you could just kind of get creative with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? You know, you can equate the lack of fuel to starvation. You can equate people sitting inside of your car if they're like, you know, scratching at your interior or something like that. Like maybe instead of it being like a more physical sensation, maybe it's something like a little nagging
presence like in your brain.
In your brain, yeah. Where you're just like, fix this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're feeling uncomfortable about stuff, it's, you know, it's about where it takes your mindset to as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that at least when pain interplays with like inanimate TF, it could be really interesting because there's that like almost alien sensation of pain happening and then being taken away from you as like the more as you change.
Yeah.
Like that's almost pain. Yeah. That's almost one where I find it even more interesting because there's this interplay of like, as you're losing your humanity and you're turning into something else that doesn't have that ability to feel pain, like you said, what new sensations are going to take its place, you know? And like how, when that pain is like being taken away from your brain, how does it like react to that? Like,
well, it depends on the thing too. Like what if you turn into something with a lot of sensors? What if you're like a jet fighter or something like that? How do you conceptualize radar, you know?
Yeah.
Things like that. How do you conceptualize the idea that maybe your communication signal is weak and you can't, transmit your pilot's voice to somebody else on the ground or to, you know,
to control
or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess like for anything else, it gets really fun when you start to think about the little things that they have versus what they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can anthropomorphize them in however way you want, and you can have something fun and new that way.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, obviously, I think the easiest thing to anthropomorphize are pool toys, but I'm biased.
Yeah, you can inflate anything.
Yes, you can.
Maybe once, twice.
As many times as you want, honestly. But, you know, I mean, to dive into that or at least touch on it briefly, like, I think that at least there, because there's so much, like, interaction with, like, other people around you and such, I think that even if there's not pain, there can certainly be things that are adjacent to that if you're being like handled roughly or such. Like, you know, before they were banned, we saw some pool toys in the pool at Effie. And, you know, I mean, people seem to be having fun with them, but sometimes I was looking at them and I was like, you should be nicer to your pool toy. I don't know. Like, I feel bad for that one.
Or like, they're already inflated. Get in the fucking pool already.
Yes, that is.
Why are you taking so long? You're here. It took like 15 minutes of irradiating the entire pool with your fucking sound. And now you're just waiting to... What do I do with it? Take a picture and fuck.
Yeah, let them go in the water. That's where they want to be, you know? If they're thirsty, if you're thirsty, they're thirsty, you know? Let them go in the water. I'm just saying.
To feel like the pushback, you know? Maybe like the sensation of being like squished because somebody is laying on you or using you or something like that. See, there you go. You can already do it.
Yeah,
I can
exactly.
already tell you what happens after. All that shit.
Yeah, we do love what happens after.
Yes.
So, you know? But I did want to open the floor to some audience questions if anyone had any. Does anyone have any questions they'd like to ask? Yes. Do you want to come up and say it into the mic, or would you like me to repeat it? Cool. Feel free to put in your name as well.
Hey, this is 8000 Power. Just because you asked about, we're talking about cassette beasts earlier, which ones are your favorite?
That is a great question. So I am a very basic bitch, and I love Southpaw. Yes, I know he's the, like, Lucario analogy, which I also love, and it's very, like, one-to-one, shut up, he's cool. I think one of the things I really like about Southpaw is the way in which they conceptualized the animal parts interacting with the mechanical/inanimate ones. So, like, you know, he's got the visor with that has, like, the LED eyes on it. And I think that's really fucking cool. And I think that the way that they did his arms being like mostly mechanical with the like spikes on the knuckles, I think is really cool too. So I'd say that would probably be my favorite.
Lilligator.
Lilligator is very good.
Lilligator is like the frog monster. I was like, oh shit, they got a frog monster for me, and it's weird, and I like it. It's got like these big arms, and it looks like it can punch you and everything, and I like it. So the moment I had that, I didn't use my starter anymore. I just kept using that one. I also like the stained glass angel one. I forgot what it's called.
Yeah.
But I also like this other one called Arkid, which it is just, it looks like it's a game console monster, and it's like one of the hands looks like it's a power glove, and it looks like it's part Game Boy, and I'm like, it's made for me. This is great, and I just like the little ready, bouncy stance that it has. It's great.
Yeah. Also, a special shout-out to, I think it's Cat 9, is it called? Oh, yeah, the one Cat with the TV 9. Head?
No,
yeah.
Cat 5.
Cat 5, sorry, Cat 5. I really like Cat 5, too.
Cat
I think
5 the is really cool. Really there are so many. Cassette Beast is a great game. It's, like, on a bunch of different consoles now. But if you're into transformation and everything like that, they discuss, like, how it feels. They do cool little things, like, there's certain people that you fight along the road. They'll be like, oh, man, I've been listening to this song so long that I forgot that I was me, that I wasn't supposed to be this. And they talk about the fusion. They talk about how weird it is to transform and all this stuff. So it really is just like Pokemon. But if you wanted to really be the Pokemon and they kind of get into it, they do that. You don't have to like extrapolate nearly as much. Also, yeah. The story is great. The music is great. It's just, please, if you're looking for something that isn't Pokemon, but actually fucking gets it in a really fundamental way, you play that.
Yeah.
Not Pal World. Fuck Pal World.
Fuck Pal World. Agreed. Amen.
And if you like Pal World, well, fuck Pal World.
Do we have any other audience questions? Yeah, come on. Okay, so question is, what would we dread maybe to TF into, and how might we be convinced otherwise?
Yeah.
I can go first. so we've been kind of dancing around and joking about it. I think my tastes in terms of Merge TF have definitely fallen off quite a bit. There's definitely certain elements these days that I would dread a little bit, which I recognize is very ironic for a number of reasons. Don't at me. I guess, like, to convince me to go through with it, I mean, there's already certain kinds of Merge TFs that I am actually okay with, so I'm not going to touch on those. But for something like, you know, for example, you're becoming, like, a torso or something like that, I think one of the things that might have to be tweaked to, like, convince me to, like, be down for that kind of thing would be a lot more of an emphasis on how the mental changes are handled. Because I've seen some where it's like, oh, you're just, like, the body part now, and so you don't really have any thoughts at all. And at least for me, like, yes, there's some appeal to, like, identity death adjacent stuff, but if you're becoming just, like, a specific part of the body, I think I'd need a little bit more of, like, stuff for you to be doing afterwards for it to appeal to me. And even then, I think it would be more of, like, a case-by-case basis. I mean, like, and again, it depends on, like, the body part question. Like, I could do a tail TF. That would be totally fine with me. You know, there's, you know, other three-lettered word TFs that I'd be into, too. But, you know, for some of the other ones, I think it would need to be a more interesting sell for me to be like, okay, I can go along with that.
Man, you have a weird like concept of it, like becoming a body part. When I think of like an overall like merging, like in kind of like equal parts sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know, and the. Did I ever tell you about the Mama Bliss comic?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, where, like, the girl finds, like, this thing. She puts on a strap-on, fucks the guy. Yeah, so it's like, oh, ancient magic, whatever. It's just, like, put these things on. So she gets all big and bulky, and she's, like, turning into, like, a horse girl or whatever. But she's fucking her boyfriend, and he's turning into her dick. And so, like, the whole time, he's just like, I don't know what's going on, but this is awesome. Don't stop. And they're both having, like, this orgasmic whatever. And by the time they're finished... You know, she's big, you know, massive cock, horse girl, whatever. And, you know, she's like, oh, my God. Oh, honey, where did you go? And then he's like, whoa, I'm in here. I can, like, hear your thoughts and stuff. This is awesome. And that's how it ends. I was like, yeah, they had fun.
Yeah.
They had fun. They're enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
In terms of what I would dread, it's anything to do with livestock. I do not want to be fucked with in any sort of way. And in order to get me to try it, I'd have to be assured that the people in charge have my best interests in mind. It will also turn me back.
Yeah. You would not want to be stuck as a cow permanently.
I don't want to be stuck as a cow because I already understand how, like, some people will fucking treat that sort of stuff. And no, I'll kill you. Cows are tanks. Cows are tanks. They
Yeah, don't they could.
Don't fuck around with one. They're very sweet, but respect them. And yeah, I wouldn't want to be manipulated in that sort of way. Also, just like, I don't know, like think of cow, like a bull even specifically. Like don't abuse that, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, so generally livestock, farm stuff, I would like, no, you give me something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anything, anybody else?
Yeah, more questions? We got plenty of time. Okay, in the back. Okay, our question is, if you were TF'd into a hot dog, would you eat yourself? What do you think?
I watched The Simpsons growing up, and I learned to not do that.
I would hope I didn't eat myself. Yeah, I don't think I would want to eat myself. I'm also not into vore, so, you know, that's another layer of it. But that maybe
self
that's just
vore.
Me.
Is self vore a thing?
It can
honest
be.
Question.
I've seen
I
no,
don't
I've
fucking
seen people.
Know.
I mean, Ouroboros.
Ouroboros, yeah. But
that's self vore. He's just eating the tail the whole time.
Yeah, but you're always moving away from it. That's the point.
Yeah, but you're also still eating yourself. You are eating yourself. It's your own tail.
Yeah, you are. That's right.
Yeah.
The
find it, it's the internet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You could probably find
chasing
it
the eternal fullness.
Yeah.
Anybody deadly else?
No. I saw. Yeah. Sorry. What?
Would you be an Ouroboros hot dog?
I guess it would. I don't even know how to conceptualize that.
So if it was constant swallowing, you know, there would
I do like constant swallowing, so that's fine.
So you would do it.
Well, okay, I'm not saying I'd go for it in that way. I'm just saying I did like that, so I felt the need to interject it. That's all.
I'm just thinking of, like, chewing, and I wouldn't want to eternally chew.
Yeah, I guess that's true. No, sorry. We had a question here first.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
All right, so then you.
Yeah, then you.
It's hot dog related. It's not, believe me. The mic. So, hey, everybody. I'm Paula Brady, pretty much everywhere on the internet. So, and this, I had this question saved up for quite some time. Because like a couple weeks ago, y'all had Lemon Fond on,
yes,
on your podcast, and I checked them out, checked the work, thought it was genuinely great. Like especially the Were Clown TF that they
yeah
ended up.
Yep, I fucking yeah told you.
Yeah, like it genuinely made me reconsider as to like what that's about. So my question was, what is a piece of media, whether it's art or stories or moving pictures in general, that genuinely made you rethink how you felt about a certain kink?
Okay.
That's great. Thank you. Do you want to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I'll do the easy example, and then I'll do a different one. So Color Out of Space made me rethink Merge TF. Like, genuinely, I was watching that on the couch. The Merge TF happened, and I grabbed my friend next to me. Yeah, shout out, Steph. And we were fucking screaming because we were like, what the fuck just happened? What did I witness?
There I am, like, show me more. I'm interested.
I'm like, no, I don't need any more. I think when it comes to, like, content that's also, like, I guess, changed how I thought about, like, certain kinds of transformation. I guess my mind goes back to a lot of Fox's work, or Foxy's work, when it came to, like, gender change stuff, because that was something that she started to explore in some of the later phases on her website. And at least up to that point, I hadn't really thought about it in much detail. I was just focused on, male to whatever, TF, and that being kind of it. But what was interesting to me about how she kind of depicted it was its authenticity and its enjoyment towards it. A lot of the times I find, and we've talked about this before, you know, I find that a lot of, like, MTF, TF in particular, is very, like, fetishistic, and it's almost, like, degrading, particularly from, with, like, some misogynistic themes.
Jumping
and,
in on that, I've seen a lot of work over the years, and it's changed with the tone, but a lot of, even though there's no, like, particular media around it, actually, in general, like, that kind of media is really fucking weird.
Yeah, sometimes it can be, but I think what was interesting to me was it was clear that, like, she was working out her own shit through that, and so it was approaching it from this viewpoint of genuine interest and also, like, genuine enthusiasm. And I think that was the first time that I really saw it depicted in that way in kind of online media. So for me, it genuinely made me think about, you know, my interest in it, as well as, like, you know, thinking about my own gender identity stuff. And so I really do chalk up that in particular as being something that was quite pivotal in terms of how I enjoyed TF content online.
It's hard to think about it for me, mostly because I think a lot of the stuff that I've watched or played or anything like that always, like, put a little something on. I think, that's a really hard question for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's fine.
No, it's a good question.
I like to think that because of all little things I've watched, I now have, like, I think I've been able to figure myself out a little bit more, because I never really had, like, the big epiphany, like, hit me, where, like, suddenly I don't understand myself anymore, my world is shattered and everything like that. And I think that when it comes to, like, certain things, it's always good to just kind of keep looking. I think another reason is that stuff that shaped me and what I like usually came from artists who were just posting the stuff. So instead of me thinking back to, like, a piece of media, I often think of, like, artists' work. Mm-hmm. So I remember when I would see Ranzab stuff, and I'm like, ah, I want to do stuff like that. That kind of look, that kind of weights, that kind of pressure, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And Griff, that, you know, who, like, really grounds it, where I'm just like, oh man, that looks, that could be, like, a photograph or something of, you know, like that, and I want to get closer to that. So I think that's something that I can think on too, where it comes to, like, what media specifically. But I think, yeah, that's where it really came from, was from the people posting online and sharing the stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. We did have a question.
I was going to ask, so for something like synthetic TF, or, like, mind transfer into a synthetic body,
mm-hmm.
Something like that, Soma ruined that for me as far as, like...
That's immediately, yes! Oh my God. I thought of when you said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone else.
Yeah.
Has there ever been any other media that made you question the process of how you would solve this hypothetical impossible problem?
Yeah.
Some other equally impossible means.
That's a great question. So, first of all, to repeat, Soma is an example of synthetic TF, and the way that it was depicted made you kind of, like, change your thinking about, like, you know,
yeah,
potential interest. And,
copying.
Yeah, the copying being something else. And so has there been any media that's, like, made us rethink things in that lens? I'm going to answer that question, but I just, again, want to reiterate how incredible Soma is as a game, not just from, like, the horror elements or just the TF elements, but from, like, a psychological perspective in terms of how do you think about what does, like, the mind and yourself actually mean in the context of, like, you know, this very horrific scenario.
Are you, if there are many yous,
yeah.
Which one's the real you? Was there ever a real one? Are you all real?
Yeah, how does, like, you know, consciousness work and, like, you know, flipping between bodies? Anyways, everyone should play Soma, amazing game. To go back to your question, though, it's a bit tricky for me to think of, like, any specific ones. I guess one that I will say I think when I started like reading Animorphs, and I saw them start to like delve into species that were like less common per se, and then they came up with like, you know, different like, you know, different instincts or urges. So for example, like the ant TFs that happened and how they, when they turned into ants, they had this overpowering like urge to just like follow the rest of like the nest or hive or whatever you want to call it and like perform simple tasks. I think that was kind of the first time that I encountered like really strong like mental changes in like the context of a transformation. And it really did make me like think about, okay, I've seen mostly like idealized stuff, but this is like a very different take on it. Am I really into kind of mental changes if this is where it can potentially lead? And I did end up deciding that I was, but it did kind of challenge my preconceptions as to what a mental change was and how I then engaged with it. I feel like there's definitely been other ones. I guess within the lens of like synthetic TF though, I guess there's been less, although I will say I really wish there was more art of people turning into the machines from Horizon Zero Dawn, because I think they're amazing. And if y'all haven't seen them, their designs are like top tier, like very, very good, very TF-able in my opinion. But yeah, I think Animorphs would be the one that stands out for me for that.
If, we're just trying to remember, it was like synthetic stuff that was like the key, or just like generally like...
It was trying to find a solution for an impossible problem that you've been posed for TF. So in this case, it was having transferring consciousness into a new synthetic body that's a new... I
actually was thinking about Parasite Eve, because there was this idea that there was an entire part of your cellular makeup that was deciding to rebel against you and everything else and just take control of it, because suddenly they somehow realized, well, you know, without us you can't live, but we don't get to be your slave anymore. You know, because we're not actually part of you, you know, you need us. And I guess, like, I think it was interesting how your protagonist was able to get lucky and not have to actually be victim to that.
Yeah.
It didn't really solve the problem, but it did kind of give me the idea that just because there's, like, a certain thing happening doesn't mean there isn't either, like, a solution to be found, or that something could just end up being like the way out. You know, there's, mm-hmm. yeah, when there's a lot of something going on, you think, oh, this is it, it's certain doom, but it probably won't be. Even in The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely. Yeah, everybody can get this except for someone. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not necessarily about like, finding the solution so much as like you can find one if you don't stop looking.
Yeah.
You know?
And just to follow up.
Yeah.
So as I was thinking about that for some of my own story ideas, it kind of came to the conclusion that you have to like gradually transform the brain,
mm-hmm.
so continuity is kept.
Yes.
Because the hard transfer is going to copy things.
Yeah, just to reiterate your point, like, when it comes to like, you know, think about the mind, there has to be that like kind of gradual continuous consciousness, because a hard break will like kind of interfere with things. I've definitely thought about that a lot, particularly within the realm of like identity death adjacent stuff. And I've elaborated before on the podcast, but I think at the end of the day, so long as there is that continuous stream, you are still essentially you, even if like you have like completely different set of memories, completely different personality. You are still you at the end of the day, so long as that consciousness hasn't been broken. And to be honest, I did think about Soma when I was working through those things. So, yeah, very, very good game.
I was also thinking of Invincible, if anybody's seen that or read it. So, semi-spoiler. There's a character who you find out is just somebody who can't really live outside of, like, a pod, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's this villain that you think very little of until later on, when they actually become like shockingly pivotal, and they get blackmailed, or rather they get forced into doing this thing for this character who's supposed to be one of the superheroes. And it's just like, okay, now that you know my secret, what I want is for you to give me a healthy, great body, and I want you to make it exactly like this or else I'll kill you. And so they're like, okay, we're gonna do this, and here are the things you gotta understand. And they go through the process, and they do the cloning thing. But, you know, when they finally do it, you have the body that's outside of the tube because it can't be in it anymore, and it's dying and it's suffering, and then it's just like, oh my God, like on me, and then it's just like, well, kid, you won the coin flip, you know, you're good. It's like, what about the other me? And the other version of him is being like, I still got what I wanted. I don't try to save me. Just live on for me. And it's just like, holy shit.
Yeah. I think I saw another hand.
Yeah, was there another question?
Yeah. Yeah, so any lost media or things that have been taken down that we miss? Well, I guess the easy answer is I do miss Foxy's website. I will say that there's definitely been like a lot of artists over the years who have taken down their content or like removed it from the internet and it's not really findable in other places that I definitely miss as well. I guess from like a lost media perspective of like broadly produced things, there aren't really things that come to mind. And I think that's also partially because in terms of the way I interact with media, I've always felt like I can connect like almost better to some degree when it's like something from the community, because there is like a very specific intent behind the content that's being made. Like, don't get me wrong, there's amazing transformation stuff in like video games and movies and books and all that stuff, but sometimes it's coming from like a very different perspective, and I find that when media is coming from the community itself, there's an easier path to connect with it because you know what the kind of intent at least was in the author's or artist's mind. But yeah, I guess that would probably be my question. I don't, to be honest, I'm not super on any sort of like lost media that like from like a, you know, commercially produced perspective.
It's lost media. I haven't found it.
Yeah.
it's a hard question to answer only because if we're thinking about the niche of like transformation, you could find it in anything, and that's why I can't really think of anything.
More like an artist.
An artist? Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I have like a few things, like Nolaf and Bones. Does anybody remember Bones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that shit is nowhere. Nowhere now. So I'm like, yeah, there's like a number of those, and every now and again, and some of these, like, I remember there was just like a sequence that somebody was doing and it didn't get finished, and nobody ever credited the artist. It just pops up, especially since you got artists who will get commissioned to do something and you don't know how it gets shared or if they have a signature or if the signature gets removed, you know. I can't name these people or the media because they're not credited. I remember there was this one or two people that was doing like breast expansion content, and it was like really, really good. And they had this chick on camera who was just like totally into it. And then I don't remember how I got word of it because I was trying to find more, but people were saying that because people got weird and creepy and personal about it, that she stopped wanting to do it. And I'm like, oh, fuck you people so much.
Yeah. Yeah, that is unfortunately how a number of artists end up going, which, I mean, we've talked about before.
Yeah, it's like artists, but also just the people willing to like collaborate to do it because like, you're like, oh, I want a woman, I want her boobs to get big. I'm like, well, you found one and now you chased one away. Good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, and like that also keeps like people hidden or wanting to hide. I mean, like, Koopa Cap almost went dark completely, and it was just because of, like, a really shitty headspace. You never know when it could happen.
Yeah. Do we have any other questions? Yeah.
What would you recommend to anybody who feels shameful about liking TF? What would you say to them to help them get through that shame, of that shameful headspace?
Yeah, so just to repeat the question, what advice would we give to anyone who is feeling shameful about TF and trying to like work through that?
Try to accept what it is that you're feeling. You can think about what people will say or what they'll perceive, but the fact is, if you feel a certain way, then that's the way it is. I feel ready to deal with people who may try to shame or embarrass me. For like, I don't know how many people are aware when I say this name, but Ethan Klein is a good example of the worst nightmare of a lot of people in here, where somebody with a big platform and who is very popular and a lot of people like will say, you're a disgusting, perverted piece of shit, you need help, and stay away from people. And a guy like that will not listen to you and not give a fuck. Most people are not like that. So the good thing that you can do for yourself is that, first of all, you just got to remember that if you're saying, I like this, but not in this way, and you believe that, and that is actually how you are, then stick to that. You don't need to really actually prove it to anybody else. Mm-hmm. You can give that to somebody as like a point of conversation, or if they actually want to understand, you're like, yeah, I know how this comes off, but here's how I feel about it and how I want it. Yeah, it has to start with you. That's how you deal with the shame, because I felt a lot of shame at first, and I had to come with terms of like, oh man, this makes me weird because it looks like this. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
I think back actually to a conversation I had yesterday about a different topic, but you know, one of the things that I think about, particularly from a shame perspective, is that we all only have one life to live, and you do not want to get to the end of your life and kind of bemoan the fact that you didn't get to live it authentically and you didn't get to get the things or do the things that you really wanted to do. I think transformation in particular, as like an interest for us, is a really core part of sometimes who we are and the ways in which we go about experiencing life. And we don't want to feel like, you know, we had to go our whole lives not getting to experience it in the way that we wanted to and not get to express ourselves the way that we wanted to. Again, I think that at the end of the day, it's so important that we're true to ourselves and that we accept ourselves for the interest that we have and how we are. Because otherwise, you'll just go through life kind of packing up things and, you know, putting them in boxes and trying to bury them and pretend to be someone else that you're not. And, you know, then you'll get to the end of things and be like, wow, I spent all this time caring about what other people thought about me and how they perceived me, and I never cared about how I perceived me and how I felt. You know, I just think that it's so much better from a mental health perspective and just a perspective in general to be honest with yourself and allow yourself to enjoy the things that you're interested in, because nobody else is going to look out for you the way that you can. You kind of have to take control of your own life from that perspective and not let other people dissuade you or push you away from doing that kind of thing. I've definitely done the two lives versus the living myself authentically thing, and I can tell you on the other side that the authentic way is a much better way to go. And I will, you know, to some degree, I regret not doing it sooner, but also, like, I am thankful that I have decided to do that now for myself. And that is an active decision that anyone can really make at any point in time in their life. So the best time to do it was yesterday, but the next best time is now.
Yeah, you can do that. It's not an easy process sometimes, but that's, you have the opportunity. People have the opportunity to do that stuff. Oh man, I went a little too hard and I fucking came off weird. Well, next few people, you can deal with that.
You can adjust. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not set in stone. And again, with the people that it gets set in stone with and they're going to treat you like shit, you probably didn't want to talk to them in the first place.
Yeah.
Really, back to the beginning, we talk about people, but talking about to people about this stuff for the first time or whether or not I had to prep them. You know, you don't really have to. People just get shit. And everybody is something like really weird about them. And I challenge anybody who gives you the whole like, oh, you're a sicko thing. I'm like, let me find your shit and tell you how fucking weird you are.
I don't care
if you think it's more vanilla. Shut the fuck up.
Let's see the skeletons in your closet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've shown you mine. Now show me yours. Let's see how you feel, right?
So. Body parts, bitch. They don't keep skeletons. That's how fucked up they can be.
Yeah, that's true.
Anybody else?
Yes.
In the context of our group here, how many people is too much people and how many people is too little? Like, where is a good sweet spot? Because I know in art, there's a lot. If you put a lot of people, it's hard to nail all the details because you have to like picture out. But when you have a group and it's 3 people, is it really a group?
Yeah. So is that question, the question is, how many is too many or too few in terms of defining a group TF? Do you mean from an artistic perspective or from an experience? Okay, I mean, I think artistically, I mean, I think back to Pythos Cheetah, who we had on the podcast earlier. He did like this manip where he manipped everyone who was in like the crowd of a rave. My hat is tipped to him for getting through that because I could not. I would think for me personally, that would probably be too much. I think a good solid, like, and maybe I'm being loose with my definition of group, but whatever, it's my answer. Like, anywhere I think between 3 to 7 is probably good. I think after that, there's just, like, too many things visually to be looking at. In terms of, like, in general, though, like, you know, I mean, hey, I don't think there's a limit in terms of how many people can TF. Like, maybe everyone at a con or something. Oh, you know, like, I don't have any opposition to that, so.
I'm a very, like, intimacy kind of guy, so I like 1 or 2, you know, 3 maybe. But, like, I don't really get the appeal of just, like, oh, my God, look, it's an entire ballroom full of people, like, on the floor, gripping their whatever. I'm like, fine, whatever. I don't really care. What can I, who can I look at, you know, yeah. in this fucking, like, haze of shit? If you do it well, you do it well. But if I'm going to do it for myself, it's going to be, like, 1, 2, 3 people. Yeah. I don't really go for the group thing.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Any other questions? No? Okay. Question? Okay, well, oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Sorry, I missed you.
Hi, I'm Raisin. Is everyone listening to this going to pledge to patreon.com/TFTuesdayPod?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's an open question for the listening audience. If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/TFTuesdayPod. We really appreciate the support. It helps us continue to do what we do. I mean, doing this on a weekly timetable is a little bit unhinged, but somehow we make it work, and you know, we appreciate the support.
We care. We want to keep making this better. You know, we want to keep it going for as long as possible. I have a good friend who I had to turn on to the fact that there's so much to talk about, and you could, like, just dig into little nooks of stuff. And you'll always have something to talk about, because her response to this was like, how what can you really talk about? I'm like, a lot. You can just find shit. So, like, I'm glad.
Yeah, we got 90 episodes of things where we talked, so, you know.
And if you can tell your normie friends and everything about it, they'll have questions. We can talk about those questions.
Yeah.
This is the thing. When I have told people that aren't into it, they'll start asking me questions, and I start thinking of things that I didn't realize that I could really enjoy about it. Or they'll think of something fun and new. Or they get into it themselves. Oh, my God. The people, like it's not exactly like, oh, tens of thousands of people I've spoken to. But seriously, it's like I've talked to, like out of, like, 5 or 6 artists. It's like 4 or 5 of them are suddenly like, I want to try it.
Yeah.
And then they keep doing it on their own outside of, like, commission stuff. Because it's like, oh, people are looking for more content. So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, even if you convert just one person, I think that's
you
could
subscribe and keep wondering what the fuck are these weirdos talking about until you're like, I need to know what you're gonna say next because I can't stop fucking thinking about this thing that you said. Pool toys
again. I know it's me back at it, back at the Krispy Kreme with the pool
Berserk
toys.
Again.
Somehow Lombaxes again. Yes, there's always more.
Still don't get a free bingo, but you can look for one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, I know we've gone technically over our room time, but no one kicked us out, so I think we were good on that front. Thank you so much, everyone who came to listen to us live here at FE. Really appreciate not only the audience to listen, but also posing us really great questions and coming out. It was a really special thing for us to be able to do this live here, given it's our hometown that we like to call the TF capital. So it was really nice to be able to do it here. Give yourselves a round of applause. Like, yeah. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And as always, you know, we want you all to keep an open mind, stay healthy, and you know, keep being TF-y. And if you like the work that we do, you can also vote for us at the Ursa Majors, which, you know, is its own thing. But anyways, we'll put a link in the show notes.
At the time of recording, yeah. Anyway, it still hasn't been
decided
yet.
It closes on the 24th, so it'll still be up
when
people hear it. So if you support us, if you like us and want to support us, please vote for us in the best nonfiction category for that.
Thank you also for being a great audience because, again, like I said, I haven't done anything like this before, and you all made it very easy to do. So thank you all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. But yeah, I'm Zill.
I'm Kay Libra. Keep your lights lit in the darkness.
Yeah, and we'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.
Yeah. FE 2025! Thank you. Special thanks to all our associate producer tier patrons, Eric Malves, Flounder, Galen, Jay Wolf, Kaiko, Madame Shakat, May Pixel, Mellow, Monstronium, Professor Scritch, Pythos Cheetah, Raptum X, Stormy Fennec, Strauss TF, and Twycat.